I'm from Green Elith, and I was, obviously you might recognise me because I was speaking about the biomass campaign, and we think that's an example of a of an energy project which isn't sustainable and isn't one that we want to pursue. But in our local neighbourhood, we're just about to launch a bid to build the first community-owned urban wind turbine in Scotland. Now, this is the link, you see. Because I don't know if you guys can introduce yourselves in just a second, because you have, as I understand it, are just about to finish the construction of the of Scotland's first mainland income-generating community-owned wind turbine.
That's spot on.
Excellent.
On the community wind turbine, it's 100% owned by the community.
Can you just tell us where who you are and where you're from?
Sorry, I'm Brian McDougall. The partnership on the covers a little bit of geographical spread, and within it is a village called Pitmedden, and that's where I live. And I'm actually one of the directors of the Wind Turbine Company, as well as a community council member. And we've worked on, I think Mike should introduce himself as well just now.
I'm Mike McDonald. I'm one of the directors for the Turbine Company. My role within the organisation is negotiator and gopher, and it's only one small part of what we've been doing. Mm-hmm. There are five of us in the group that have taken it through to this stage, and all important parts of the system, and the cog and the wheel fits together.
Because so I was going to say, can you tell us, it's been quite a journey for you, hasn't it? So I don't know if you can tell us a little bit about how you found it so far to get to the point where you're under construction.
I think Brian should start.
Okay.
long journey. We said we started back in 2006 and with the idea, and probably took a year and a half to actually get the plans together to think what we were doing. The important thing for us was to get community support for the whole project, because without community support, it just wouldn't work. And that was a key thing. So we did a few studies. We looked at wind speed data. We looked at where we could actually place turbines. You know, was it a farmer that would allow us to go to these fields or not? And when we actually got to the stage of saying, well, that's a suitable location, the farmer's quite amicable to it. Let's have a go and try it. And we thought, we had an initial meeting with near neighbours, and the first meeting we had with the near neighbours wasn't as good as we expected. Our end objectives needed modification, but it was a very important meeting because it let us take a step backwards and say, are we sure we're doing this for the right reasons? So it allowed us to revisit what we're doing. And then we thought, okay, that's near neighbours, and that's basically the property surrounding the turbine site itself.
Right. So how can I stop you? How close with are the near neighbours living in the turbine?
Probably within a kilometre of the turbine. It was just the geographical spread around it. Mm. What we actually did is the minimum distance was 10 rotor diameters. So we plotted all that out and said, well, that's a suitable location. And so nobody was too close to the turbine. But then we thought, we've got to go to the bigger community and see what they feel about it. So we actually put together this planning for a real event, which is just community consultation, but got the schools involved. And the theory behind getting the schools involved was that if the school kids get engrossed in this, they go home, tell their mums and dads, or look what we're doing at school, you have to come and see what we're doing.
Yeah.
We'll get some of them coming in at the community, the Planning for Real event. And they were quite terrific because at the first Planning for Real, we got between 300 and 400 people there, which for our community, it was tremendous. So from that, we got A, the mandate to go forward with the turbine, and B, the list of activities they'd like to see. Things like a drove road, which is a walk along a disused path to get them onto an old railway line, which is 40 miles long. So it opens up a whole raft of things for them. We'll do energy audits. We do things for local community groups, a whole heap of things. So we've got all that fixed.
So was this you looking at what you would spend the money on if you built the
Because we had to see we had to tell them, okay, this is a turbine. But they said, well, yeah, what are we going to do with the turbine?
Yeah.
Do you want to come in?
Yeah, one of the things I must say, if you see what we've done and what Brian's just said, we have started the opposite from so many other organisations because they get a trust in place first. We had a turbine company. Mm-hmm. We wanted the turbine up. Let's get it up. And then we will think about the trust company and what we're going to do with the money.
Yeah.
So we have done it opposite from many, many other organisations.
Yeah.
And it's worked for us.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem we have now is how do we spend the money and where do we get the enthusiasm from the community to spend the money?
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of money for the thing.
Well, that's the thing, and that's what people will be interested to know. So can you tell us how much, roughly, you expect in, first of all, the numbers, the scores on the doors?
I have always, through the 5 years of this operation, always said to everyone, never ever divulge numbers because one day you will be caught and you'll be held to account.
Mm.
We've done a lot of financial models with what we have in place now. The first 2 years, uncertain, but year 3 to year 10, it is £100,000 per year for the community. From year 11 to year 15, it will be more. But guaranteed from year 15 to year 20, it could be £250,000 to £300,000 a year.
That's quite a lot of money, isn't it?
How do you spend it? We need help.
Mm, absolutely.
Yes.
And so is the idea to work through the list of priorities that you identified at the beginning? Or
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, we did the original plan for the whole event in May 2008.
Mm-hmm.
We held a subsequent one in March of this year, and a lot of the things people wanted were reinforced as they still want.
Mm-hmm.
What we can't do is go back and ask them again. What we've got to do is say, this is what you've told us once, this is what you've told us twice.
Yeah.
We've got to go and do it now.
Yeah.
And do some of the project work. Uh-huh. That we... they want us to do.
Uh-huh.
So the next stage is actually to do something so we can say this is something tangible that we've done with the money.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very important stage for us.
Yeah. And so the question, I have another question for you,
yeah,
which is what did you... It's a really interesting process that you've been through, and I'm particularly interested that you did the consultation on what you'd spend the money on really early on. I suppose, what did you say to people who... Yeah, was there anybody who said, "I just don't want this. I just don't want this"? And how did you cope with those people?
We still have that couple.
Yeah,
they are still there.
Yeah,
and they have said nothing. But involving the children,
uh-huh,
to get the parents involved, it has mushroomed from the fact that they're getting it from grassroots up.
Mm-hmm.
We have got something. Let's use it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we have found all the advantages. These kids, once the turbine is redundant, it has to be decommissioned, are going to be in their mid-30s.
Yeah.
So they've got a lot to do with it and work with it all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Not today, not tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
It's...
Uh-huh. And can you see the company investing in other revenue generating projects with the money that it's made?
I need to say something.
Yeah.
The turbine itself was an off the wall comment that has come to fruition.
Mm.
There's a lot of things apart from what the community said that we are going to do, and there's a lot of comments of different projects, and these ones we should pick up with. Because even from doing the Drove Road through to apprenticeships, through to scholarships, whatever, it's there, it's wide open.
Mm.
It's all there for someone to do.
Yeah.
And it's all the trust that needs to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
It needs the enthusiasm to keep it going forward.
Yep. I see.
Can I just come back to one point?
Sure.
About people who are not happy with things.
Mm.
What we've made a conscious effort of doing is we got all the work done to get us up to planning permission,
mm-hmm,
with a planning application ready for submission. And before we actually submitted it, we made a conscious effort to go back to community and both the near neighbours and to an open meeting and say to people, look, this is what we propose to do. We've not done it yet. Mm. This is what we propose to do. Have your final comments. And actually, one of the comments from one of the near neighbours was, actually, still a bit close to our property. What can you do about it? So we had a look at it, and we actually decided to move the turbine further down the field. Mm-hmm. I think about another 400 metres away from him. Mm-hmm. Moved it down. It was slightly less wind down there, but if it sort of appeased that little hamlet, it would be worthwhile. Yeah. So that's what we did.
And I think that's one of the advantages of a community-controlled scheme, isn't it? That you can do your best to adapt.
Yeah, and I think what it showed, and what it showed to the planning department as well, is we not only listened to community comments, we've actually acted on it and changed things.
Yeah.
We didn't go in there saying, this is what we're doing, tough luck. Mm. This is what we're doing, and we've amended it to suit most people.
Yeah, yeah.
So that has actually been our success throughout, is keeping the community involved, because actually our local press have been fantastic with us. Mm. We've had many events at the turbine, cutting the turf, building burying the time capsule, many things the press have covered, each and every one, which is important because it keeps the rest of the community up to speed with what you're doing.
Yeah,
because they all read the papers.
Yeah, absolutely.
You may want to edit this or switch this off now, because a very, very important thing was happening at the same time as we were going through all this process.
Yeah.
There was a commercial developer applying to put up three turbines in the next field to where we were.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And
the good people of Leith will be able to relate to commercial developers in the large energy generating proposals.
We did our letters out to the near neighbours to tell them what we were doing and involve them. Unknown to us, the next day, this developer was going round knocking the doors and handing in the letters for three turbines. And that caused us a lot of grief, because they thought there was collusion and hand in hand. And it was very, very difficult time for us to get that sorted out. We eventually got it put in place and organised, because we didn't know that this developer was doing it. It just so happened that our planning application, we were heading for date X.
Yeah.
We couldn't make it because Brian's pen ran dry. We didn't make it because we didn't have everything together.
Yeah.
So we said, okay, we'll put it in the next planning application. But the developer was in this one, and they went through everything, and the developer got refused every turbine. How long after?
2 months after.
Our application went in, and we got approval.
And what do you think made the difference?
Community involvement.
No question about it. There was no objections, or very little objections to what
that,
we
that was my last question to you was about local politicians, and have you kept the development entirely separate from the, you know, are there any local politicians on your board or
no
or anything
definitely
like
not. We've got a sense of what Mike says now. No, we've tried as far as possible to keep politics out of the whole thing. What we're doing for a community, and we want to do that irrespective of any politics involved in it, and want to keep it that way as well.
Okay, yeah.
You've got five people, one had a vision, he's got four supporters, and we've gone down and we've stuck to the same principles all the way through, and we haven't compromised any honesty or anything else towards this. And I think that, with the community aspect to it, is the success to the story.